Hello, Mother Rogues, Father Rogues, and fellow local and long-distance parents. So, this is your handy-dandy Mother Rogue, Christina Miller, coming to you from Boston Metro, Merrimack Valley. And I want you to hear something, because it is just absolutely creepy, and it was my partner in sat-nav crime.
This gonna be a good drive. Almost as good as cookie. Om nom, oh, nom nom. Nom, 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 nom.
So, I don't know if you heard that, but that was the new Waze voice navigator. It's Cookie Monster. When it is played in tandem with teenage death metal, it is, it sounds like a creepy old man coming to kill you. Which it certainly is not. It just sounds that way when it's breaking in over the sat-nav system while your teenage son is listening to Outkast. Yeah. I went back a few months ago and apologized to my mother for forcing her to endure Sean Cassidy at loud volumes. But anywho, and I wanted to talk about, speaking of Cookie Monster, driving. So a lot of us, myself included, have these really crazy commutes to see our kids. I'm on the actual lighter end of the spectrum in terms of commuting, with only 3 hours and 15 minutes max of 6 hours in traffic. That's really not too bad. But some of you, I know, drive hours. Some of you have to deal with airport traffic and getting to and from an airport to either get on a plane yourself or drop your child off and pick them up at an airport. And that drive is a time eater. It's difficult. Even though every time I get on the road, like you, I kind of smile every mile I get closer to my child, because I know, oh, I'm going to be with my kid soon. I'm positively beaming as I come over Route 287 across the Tappan Zee into New Jersey. But then I think that I have to turn around and make that commute back, and I try not to focus on that during the course of the weekend. But driving is brutal. It's a severe time waster. And apart from the standard safety things, obviously, you know, give yourself a space cushion, don't drive distracted, let everybody and their brother pass you, maintain the speed limit or a healthy respect or stay within a healthy MPH of it so that you don't get pulled over and stay safe. Let that other guy try to get there 5 seconds before you and have the accident or get the ticket. You don't need it. And think about how your kid's going to feel, as I have said before. If you get that speeding ticket or if you get into that accident because you were rushing to see them or driving back home after visiting with them tired. Kids, well, maybe it's just my kid, but they seem to assume a lot of guilt and a lot of responsibility for things that are well beyond their control, especially some of the more sensitive ones or the younger ones. You don't want your kid to feel guilty for you having an accident. But there's also that whole thing about, and you definitely don't want a speeding ticket. Your insurance premiums don't want that either. But there's also, so you really can't do much when you're driving. You're driving. Driving requires an intense amount of focus on the road. So what can you do to actually salvage some of this time? And there are a few things you can do. Obviously, everybody asks me this. Do you listen to a lot of audiobooks? And the truth is, I do. I had the unfortunate experience yesterday. My son and I were driving back to New Jersey from Boston, and he fell asleep. So I was listening to an audiobook called Even Tree Nymphs Get the Blues. And I thought it was a kind of supernatural meets real world with a romance component. I did not realize that a tree nymph former milkmaid who was opening an ice cream shop was going to start talking about penises just as my son woke up from his nap in the car. Yeah, leading man number one, that's not right. Let's change the channel. Oh, look, New York Metro radio stations are coming right back in tune. We must be close to Manhattan, which means we're close to home. Oh, here. Do you want to listen to our WBY one more millionth time? Sure. Anything, but don't tell your father that. Bad bodice ripper. Bad audible. No biscuit. Usually, I tend to listen to nonfiction. I find that fiction, for me, absorbs me in the story, and that I don't want to be absorbed in anything except what the guy in front of me is doing on the road, or whether there's a motorcyclist out there. So I tend not to listen to a lot of fiction. I tend to listen for business, which means that my attention is focused elsewhere and my ear is kind of skimming for the salient points. There's this thing in writing called, or reading called, reading for business, which is when your eye just skims for the salient points and grabs only the information you need. Well, I tend to do that with nonfiction, and I find it easy to do that with nonfiction because if I miss something, it's not a pivotal plot moment. It's just a fact. So I listen to a lot of nonfiction, and yes, Audible is my friend, and there are some other really great, you know, audiobook sources out there, or even if you have an older car, CDs that you can get for free from the library. That's actually how I got into audiobooks was I started going to the library and just checking them out. Listen to some pretty cool stuff. The Life of Pi, which was, yes, fiction, but it was narrated so well that I thought it was nonfiction. I still got absorbed in it and watched the movie and made my husband watch it and want to go back and read the book. On writing, a bunch of books by Stephen King and other authors about the English language. Eric Larson is absolutely my favorite for drive time audio. He tells a great story. The Devil in the White City is absolutely fantastic, about the murderer who is the serial killer who is navigating and haunting the Chicago World's Fair. And the In the Garden of Evil, I think it was, or In the Garden of Beasts, about a family who's living in Nazi Germany at the time of the of World War II, navigating the politics of that. And Thunderstruck, the last days of I think that might have been the big storm, but he does a lot of really cool stuff. He is out there. It seems to be the same author or the same voice narrator every time, and the voice narrator is fantastic. So highly recommend you go out to Amazon and look him up and actually check out his stuff. And no, I'm not being compensated for that, but I like him. So there's audiobooks. There is also Dragon, which is one of my favorite audio voice dictation software programs. Last year, I did NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writers Month, and discovered that I was not a novelist. I'm all about the facts. And I dictated a few hundred words a commute, basically. So I set up the Dragon, and I would talk through my Bluetooth, and I was just dictating story thoughts. And it was always really fun when I finally got back to Dragon and saw how badly Dragon misinterpreted my voice over the Bluetooth. That's always fun. I actually dictated a text to my mother the other day telling her that I was coming in to Woodcliff Lake, New Jersey, one of the towns that surrounds where my son lives. And it came out guitar. I have no idea how, but it was pretty interesting. So, okay, not interesting, just kind of stupid, but odd. Damn you, autocorrect. So you can dictate notes, you can dictate a story, you can, you know, dictate letters to people that you haven't spoken to in a long time that you want to reconnect with. just whatever you do, make sure it's hands-free. Whatever you're doing with that phone, it is not worth the 30 seconds that you look down, answer a text. Really thrilled with the new iPhone platform where it doesn't send me notifications on text messages if I'm driving. So the other thing you can do is you can appreciate that this is something no parent, residential or non, gets time to yourself. You've got like an hour or two. You can, in a car, maybe 3, 4, 5, you can blast that music your partner hates. You can sit and just listen to the whir of your engine. You can roll the windows down and let the breeze come in and tangle your hair if you have any, or if your hair is tangleable. Mine just gets flat and stringy, but another story, another day. You can appreciate this time, and you can use it while you're focused on the road to untangle some knotty problem or do some mental think work on a difficult project. Some of my best ideas have come from driving. Some of my best solutions to difficult parenting problems and how I'm going to handle a situation with the autistic spectrum for my son, or a point where my ex-husband and I are not communicating, or a project even for work. Some of my best thoughts and ideas have come through my morning commute, and some of my really good ideas and the time that I get in touch with myself and figure out what I really want to do and go in detail and in depth are on the road, crossing 84 into Connecticut, or along 84 into Connecticut. So driving is a great time to just have time to yourself, or to listen to a book that fuels your knowledge, or to dictate something that, you know, inspires you or puts forward a project you're working on for work, or that's, you know, reminds you, you know, you can dictate your shopping list and, oh, there it is. Excuse me, one second. I'm going to pause and go cough. Sorry about that, folks. I don't know why my throat gets so dry when I'm talking into a microphone, and it just does for whatever reason. And my son and I, we were out and about in the sun and the heat going from, you know, Portsmouth and the tall ships and the zoo in Providence and whale watching and back into the cold air conditioning of the car. So maybe my throat's just acting like Cookie Monster, except that cookies are not good for my waistline. So can't really know. But anywho, getting back to what we were talking about, there's a lot you can do with that time that you have. And it's important that you view that time that you have as a gift if you're in the car alone, because parents in general, we don't get time to ourselves. We're always busy. We're always on the go. There's a poster at So Vital Fitness that says, come on, 7% of your day, 1 hour, you can do this. And I'm sitting there thinking, no, I can't. I don't have time to get to a meditation class. I love them, but I don't have time to get to them. I barely have time to get on the treadmill in the morning, and that's right down the hall. So this time is an amazing gift. And what do you do when you're on a road trip and you have your child in the car? Like, you know, I went down this weekend and to New Jersey and listened to my audiobook on the way down. And apparently got to the part where the wood nymph is talking about penises. Sorry if that offends anybody. It's a body part, big deal. And then drove back up with my son, listening to teenage angst music. I think it was Outkast, Disturbed, an Evanescence cover band, and RWBY, red, white, yellow, blue, or whatever that is. And I'm so good with this music now, by the way, folks. I know the lyrics, and I can actually key into them. Come at me, da 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 da. But anyway, you don't want me singing. But so on the way back up with your child, you can give them command of the radio and relish the fact that you are listening to angsty teen music, because you don't get a chance to do that. My apologies to anybody who stuck with Taylor Swift on replay. I like her, but I can understand how that would be annoying. Or the Jonas Brothers, whom, again, they're pretty fun and kind of cool for fizzy pop music. But yeah, I can see how they might get a little annoying. So my sympathies if you have to deal with that. But you can actually enjoy that, because if you're listening to that music, you're with your child. It's also a great time to just talk to your kids. Ask them about school. Ask them about what they're doing. You know, are they playing soccer? See if they'll tell you what's on their mind. Younger ones always will. Older ones, the older my son gets, the more he just clams up on me. To the point where my mother is the teenage whisperer, and when I want to know if my son is upset about something, I have to go send her to talk to him, and she'll tell me. But it's a great time to discuss difficult things. Like, my son is actually, he's going out of home, and I know he's nervous about it, so I talked to him about it, and I, you know, told him all about it on the drive. I used that as an opportunity. And I share stories. It's a great time to do that, to let your child get to know you, and share stories about your life and what you're doing, and listen to them, and to even tell them a bit about your history with your fearless co-parent, because it wasn't all bad. You had a kid together, you had some good memories, and it's important, I think, for kids to hear that. Hey, look, yeah, we don't get along. We fight. But, you know, if you do, and every co-parenting team does, we're all human. But, hey, look, this story, and I was telling my son, his father worked for the company that publishes Women's World very early in his career. And he was known as the Wunderkinder, because he could, like, fix any computer. This is going back to the early 90s. The story that made my son laugh was the one about my ex-mother-in-law's dog, and she constantly got sprayed by skunks, and my son's father would have to go out and buy tomato juice to wash her down all the time. But these are the things that I talk about with my son, and I tell him these great stories, and you can too. And it's helped me as an ex just remember that there were good times, and put all the difficulties in their place. But it also, you know, creates a happy memories and good things for my son. Oh yeah, my parents were pretty cool. Well, you know, they weren't always the Bickersons. Of course, you know, or if you're not, they, you know, they did, like, were happy together at one point. So my ex and I are not the Bickersons, but sometimes, hey, everybody's human. So there are some things you can do while you're driving with your child, or while you're driving on your own. And above all, be safe. I have seen so many accidents on the Merritt Parkway in Connecticut going in both directions. That's the main artery, the main drag that takes me across up and down Connecticut to from Massachusetts to New Jersey. And they're all completely unavoidable if everybody would just slow down and practice, you know, all that stuff they taught us in high school about space cushions and stopping distance and not looking at phones, not trying to drive tired. So above all, be safe, but take advantage of this time to, you know, you can even learn a language, get an Audible book or check out a program or something like that You can even learn Spanish again if you want. So, but above all, be safe and thoroughly enjoy every minute you get with your child, and just bask in the fact that every minute down that highway is 1 minute closer to them. You're all great parents. This is the Mother Rogue signing off. As always, please give me your feedback. Good, bad, ugly. Hey, I'm a writer. I'm an editor. I have Kevlar, metaphorically speaking. I can take it. Christina, MR68, at readactively.org. No H in Christina. At Christina, MR68, on Twitter and on Facebook. And Christina, MR68, at... Oh, yes. And because-autism.blog. That would be the Mother Rogue's home. So, signing off for another week. Happy driving, everybody.